Discover the benefits for yourself. Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. We begin on the front page above the fold from the Ford County Public Building Commission, Courthouse Edition eyed. It would include new courtroom, corridors to courthouse, and jail. Paxton. While plans for the construction of a modern addition to the historical Ford County Courthouse in Paxton are far from finalized, members of the Ford County Public Building Commission now have at least an idea of what the project might look like and cost. A preliminary concept presented to the Commission Friday by Cordigan Clark & Associates, a Chicago-based architectural and engineering firm, called for a proposed 27,200-square-foot two-story structure with an expected price range of several million dollars, if not upwards of $10 million. The project would require borrowing in the form of bond issuance, which would be paid back over two or three decades through the county's annual building lease payments to the commission, resulting in an increase in the county's yearly property tax levy. The courthouse, dating back to 1906, is in need of more and better suited space, officials have said. The proposed addition would involve moving all of the criminal justice side of the courthouse operations to the new structure, and then using the vacated courthouse spaces for other purposes, like expanded storage and offices for the administrative side still there. While it's a beautiful building, it does have challenges serving as a current modern courthouse and justice facility, said Nathan Malott, managing director of Cordigan Clark & Associates, Chicago's office. There's a lot of different functions this building is serving, and it appears that the needs have outgrown the space that's available. The addition would be built at the current location of the courthouse's rear parking lot and would be connected to both the courthouse to the south and the sheriff's office and jail to the west. A 32-foot-wide corridor would connect the new addition to the courthouse and be used as the primary public entrance to both the courthouse and the new addition, while a narrow enclosed breezeway would link it to the jail, allowing for the secure and private transfer of inmates to and from the court. The project would address public safety concerns, with the breezeway from the jail to the new structure eliminating the need for the sheriff's office's correctional officers to escort inmates to and from court using the public sidewalk between the two facilities and through public hallways. The project would also add security to the courthouse, as all members of the public would enter and exit at only one secure spot, one that is handicapped accessible to, as opposed to two locations like there are currently at the courthouse's front and rear. It would allow for the public, potential jurors, witnesses, or victims included, to remain separated from defendants in custody and bring the court into compliance with all Illinois Supreme Court standards. Fitton mentioned an incident in which it was found after a jury had been selected for a criminal trial that at least one family member of the defendant had been sitting with the jury pool. Malott said the project would also address a general need for better layout of storage and archival space and better circulation for the circuit court and her staff, whose offices would be located on the second floor of the new addition next to the new courtroom, while also providing more file storage space at the courthouse for the county treasurer, county clerk, and county assessor, for example, whose storage space is already limited in the courthouse's basement. Malott said about 16,000 to 17,000 square feet of the courthouse is used for the judicial system's operation, while the two-story addition with its own basement would total some 22,574 feet of usable square feet. The new building's primary box footprint would be 8,400 square feet, with its one-story public entrance corridor connected to the courthouse, totaling 1,700 square feet, and the corridor from the jail being 300 square feet. The existing parking lot behind the courthouse would be relocated to the east of the new building, where there is enough room for up to 64 parking spaces. In addition to a new courtroom, the new building's second floor would include the circuit clerk's office, a law library, the judge's chambers, jury room, and restrooms. Its first floor would include offices for the pretrial services and probation departments, which currently are in the courthouse basement, along with attorney rooms, restrooms, and public foyer. In the basement, there would be about 3,727 square feet of space devoted to mechanical systems and 899 square feet for information technology systems, in addition to smaller spaces for storage, jury assembly, and future growth. The new building would have one elevator, which Mallott said would be equipped with a coding system to be used to restrict its use by the public while inmates are being transported in it to and from court on the second floor. When transporting inmates, the elevator's doors would open on the second floor into a secure area near the courtroom, separated from the public. Commissioner Del Bruins of Paxton said he had hoped to save on costs in both the short term and long term by building only a one-story addition with no elevator required. But Mallott said second floor courtrooms are preferred according to Illinois Supreme Court guidelines. Bruins stressed the need to not build more than necessary and to have a plan for the continued use of the space at the courthouse that would be vacated due to the addition's construction. "We need to use every inch of space that we can use," Bruins said. "I know that if we're adding on, we should have extra space at the end of it. But I just don't want to spend any more money than we possibly have to, and it seems like there's a lot of dead space." Killian suggested that the courthouse's second floor courtroom be converted into a meeting room for the county board, which has been meeting for decades in a much smaller room in the basement of the jail and sheriff's office. Bruin said it would be difficult to convince him that such a move is necessary. "A meeting room just for the county board to go to and just kind of hang out? I mean, that sounds fun, but I don't think it's cost-effective," Bruin said. "I mean, they've been doing it in the basement at the sheriff's office and jail forever." Lillian noted, too, though, that the supervisor of assessment's office would be able to expand its file storage space, moving it from the courthouse's basement to upstairs. Yet more space could also be used to expand the offices of the Ford County Emergency Management Agency and County Coroner, both currently sharing one small room in a corner of the basement. "I'm just trying to use the space," Bruins replied. "I don't want to gut three-quarters of this courthouse building, throw it into a brand new building, and then members of the public go, 'What the hell did you do that for?'" Fitton said he doubts there would be much wasted space. Based on costs for similar projects in Illinois that Cordigan, Clark & Associates has helped complete in the past year, it should cost several million dollars to build Ford County's courthouse addition. At $350 per square foot, the same estimated cost of Johnson County's two-story addition in 2024, project would cost at least $9.5 million. "What they added in Johnson County is very similar to what we're talking about here," Fitton said. After hearing from Cordigan, Clark & Associates, the commission heard briefly from Delana Welcomer, Managing Director for Raymond James Public Finance, about her firm's services that could be used for a potential bond issuance to pay for the project over a period ranging from 20 to 30 years. Welcomer noted that before a bond issuance is done, the Public Building Commission would first need to approve a bond resolution that would include the designation of the project site, and two public hearings would need to be held. The County Board would also need to approve a new lease with the Commission and approve levying property taxes to pay its rent due under the lease which would be used to pay off the project's borrowed costs. The Public Building Commission's last bond issuance from 2013, which provided $800,000 to make improvements to the courthouse, was paid off in 2023. After Wilcomer spoke, the Commission voted to pursue the hiring of outside legal counsel to draft a new lease agreement. Later in the meeting, the Commission heard from representatives of Performance Services, an architectural firm that offered its specialized design-build services for the project. Tim Weber, an architect with 25-plus years' experience, and Blaine Meadows, business development manager, said the design-build method eliminates the county's risks and provides cost certainty. In the design-build model, you contract with a single entity like us, and we take on the risk ultimately at that point, Weber said. Because both design and construction are in-house, it gives us a little more control over the process and thereby allows us to take on that risk in a meaningful way. We've been doing this for about 26 years, so we're not new to it. They offered to complete an initial study at no cost that would involve the collection of data and the benchmarking of the project's perimeters at a plus a cost analysis. We need to collect all that information first so that when we start to make decisions, we have good, solid information to base them on, Weber said. The idea is to do that benchmarking and cost analysis early, making sure we're headed in the right direction. Financing options would be explored next, followed by the development of the design and the finalization of a design-build budget. A design-build budget is different from a construction budget, Weber noted. The design-build budget is an all-in budget, so it's basically your full expenditure that includes everything. If things move forward soon, Meadows said, we could see you hypothetically breaking ground to begin construction as early as August or September of next year, with the competitive bidding processes completed as early as this fall or winter. Tom McQuinn of Rural Paxton, the Public Building Commission's chairman, said there will need to be much more discussion on the project, starting with the commission's annual meeting at 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 24th, in the courthouse's small courtroom. This is just the start, McQuinn said, and that meeting is open to the public. Turning back to the front page, from the Ford County Circuit Court, secret video recordings in restroom, land man in prison, 3-year term imposed after guilty plea. Paxton. A former employee of Berkey's Farm Store in Gibson City was sentenced to 3 years in prison last week after pleading guilty to 6 felonies alleging he secretly videotaped adults and minors in the woman's restroom. Jason D. Clark, 31, of Colfax, was charged last July in Ford County Circuit Court with a dozen counts of unauthorized video recording, including 2 Class 3 felonies and 10 Class 4 felonies, and pleaded guilty to 6 of those charges last December in exchange for the dismissal of the others. During a May 26 sentencing hearing, Judge Matt Fitton sentenced Clark to 3 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections for 2 of the charges, both Class 3 felonies, and 2.5 years in the IDOC for the 4 others, all Class 4 felonies, with the sentences to run concurrently. Clark will receive credit for 1 day already served at the Ford County Jail following his arrest last June by Gibson City Police. Attorney Kate Kurtz, a special prosecutor for the State's Attorney Appellate Prosecutor's Office, said in charging documents that between April 15th and June 17th, 2025, Clark secretly recorded 6 females, ages 10, 13, 18, 30, 59, and 64, in the woman's restroom at Berkey's Farm Store at 117 North Illinois 47. Gibson City Police Chief Adam Rosendahl said police were notified by a store employee on June 17th that they found a camera mounted under the sink in the woman's restroom. Rosendahl said a subsequent investigation determined the camera was placed there by Clark, who later confessed to police. Until his sentencing, Clark had remained free on conditional pretrial release with GPS electronic monitoring. Fitton imposed the sentence after hearing arguments from Kurtz and Clark's attorney, Jamie Rollins, of Urbana-based Bruno Law Offices, and hearing victim impact statements from four females and testimony from Clark's wife, according to court records. We have good news on the inside of the paper. Volunteerism in Paxton. Wheelchair ramp built to allow for man's return home. Pickleball buddies and church volunteers step up to help. Paxton. Joyce Knox was at her wit's end. The Paxton woman was striking out in her attempts to find someone willing to build a wheelchair ramp at the North Taft Street home that she shares with her husband, Jeff, who had lost a leg in March from complications of diabetes. Then she reached Kevin Heiser, pastor of Paxton's Church of Christ. "I am so thankful he was able to find volunteers," Joyce Knox said. It was not easy, according to Heiser. "I spent probably 2 weeks calling around, seeing which government agency could help," Heiser said, "and I came up blank all around." The same thing with philanthropic groups that formerly lent financial help for worthy causes. "Finally, since I kind of promised Joyce, I turned to my pickleball buddies, ex-farmers, woodworkers, five of them," Heiser said. "And they, along with some volunteers from the church, said they would help. Kirchner Building Center of Paxton supplied the lumber. A member of the church donated $100 towards the cause, and another person gave $600. Heiser said he would approach the Paxton Area Ministerial Association to help pick up the balance of the cost. Last week, the volunteers got together to build the ramp. Joyce said OSF Healthcare will supply a scooter for her husband. Now that the ramp is built, he will be able to use it. Jeff Knox, a 62-year-old retired trucker, who has been on disability for several years, said he had been struggling with health issues for the longest time, with back surgery, open heart surgery, and diabetes. He has been a resident at the Goldwater Care Nursing Home in Gibson City and has been looking forward to coming home. When his wife came to visit him on Tuesday, May 26th, she told him she had some photos to show him. "I thought, oh no, did she hit something with the car?" Jeff Knox said. Instead, they were photos of the new ramp. "I think it looks great," Jeff said. "They did a super job and got it done in one day. It's a blessing. All I can say is thank God for having them." And Joyce agreed. "I am so happy." Ford County Fair kicks off Saturday, June 13th, and Miss Ford County Fair Queen pageant contestants announced. Melvin, Raven Armstrong, Kyra Keitzman, and London Roderick are vying for the title of Miss Ford County 2026. The three contestants in the annual county fair pageant will take the stage at 7 p.m. Monday, June 15th in the dance building at the fairgrounds in Melvin. Armstrong, age 20, is a 2024 graduate of Gibson City Melvin Sibley High School. A daughter of Jesse Armstrong and Christy Wright, she attends Penn Foster for a degree in early childhood education. Keitzman, 19, is a 2025 graduate of GCMS High School. A daughter of Michelle Brucker and Kurt Keitzman, she attends Parkland College in Champaign, majoring in nursing. Roderick, 17, attends GCMS High School, where she will graduate in May of 2027. A daughter of Brandon and Angela Roderick, she plans to attend Parkland College to major in nursing. The reigning Miss Ford County 2025 is Charlie Ehrlich, daughter of Chuck and Sarah Ehrlich. She is a 2025 graduate of Paxton Buckley Lota High School and attends Parkland College, majoring in communications. 2026 Ford County Fair will be held at the fairgrounds in Melvin from June 13th to the 20th. More details and a full schedule of activities can be found at www.fordcountyfair.org. And now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for June 3rd. Stephen A. Cornett, Danville. Stephen Alman Cornett, 64, of Danville, uncle of Paxton Police Chief Coy Cornett, died Wednesday, May 27th. A celebration of his life was celebrated Monday, June 1st, at the Vermilion Valley Vineyard. Willis W. Jansen, Alt, Colorado. Willis Wayne, Bill Jansen, 98, of Alt, Colorado, a native of Buckley, died Wednesday, May 27th, on the farm he had cared for with his family since 1969. A memorial service was held at 11 a.m. Friday, June 5th, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with a committal and luncheon following. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley. Adele A. Wall, and that's spelled W-A-L-L-E, in Gibson City. Adele A. Zimmerman Wall, 104, a former longtime resident of Melvin, died Monday, May 25th at her home in Bloomington with family by her side. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday, June 5th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, and from 9:15 to 10:15 a.m. Saturday, June 6th at St. Mary Church of Downs. A funeral mass will be at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, June 6th at the church, with the Father Derek Mswega officiating. Deacon Gary Kerner will perform burial rites at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 6th at Melvin Cemetery in Melvin. Dean P. Wall, and that again is spelled W-A-L-L-E. Tucson, Arizona. Dean Philip Wall, formerly of Melvin, died Friday, March 28th in Tucson, Arizona, with family by his side. A funeral mass will be at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, June 6th at St. Mary's Church of Downs, with Father Derek Mswega officiating. Burial will follow at 2 p.m. in the Melvin Cemetery in Melvin. Visitation will be from 9:15 to 10:15 a.m. Saturday, June 6th at the church, and from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday, June 5th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Memorials may be made to Pima Animal Care Center in Tucson, Arizona, or Casa de la Luz Hospice in Tucson, Arizona. And just a note of clarification, both Mr. Wall and the previous Mrs. Wall are mother and son. Richard C. Wittet, Gibson City. Richard Craig Wittet, 74, of Gibson City, died Wednesday, May 27th, at his home. A celebration of his life will be held at a later date at the Saybrook Christian Church in Saybrook. We return to the news with a story from Gibson City. Transportation services in Gibson City shifting gears. In Gibson City. A community center is changing hands in Gibson City, a move officials say will improve transportation for people who desperately need it. Ford County officials said the Gibson City Senior Center will be under new management starting in July. It's a move with several downstream effects. Telecare has used the building near South Church and East 3rd Streets for more than 40 years. Telecare Board President Michelle Meyer said that Telecare's board and vehicles were aging, and they wondered if they could even continue. Now, she said, Futures Connections will pick up with where they are leaving off. Futures Connections already operates in Ford County. people can schedule rides 24 to 48 hours in advance, be picked up in the county, and then be taken both in and out of county. Meyer said after the change, people will get higher quality rides for a better price. Right now, when someone is picked up, they pay $5 for the ride, and then they pay $1 for the return ride, or to go to another store or somewhere. Future will offer them the ride for $2, Meyer said. If they go out of county, our rides could have been $30, $40, $70, depending on where they were going. Now the ride will be $5. Telecare is not only the only one using the building. OSF was using the space to distribute meals 5 days a week for seniors 60 and older. Now it's on the move, and OSF said it will be using the Paxton Civic Center as the new site. People in Ford County said they are glad it's sticking around. For seniors, having those congregate meals is such a lifeline for them. It also reduces isolation. So not just food component, but also the isolation component, said Ford County Public Health Department Community Health and Outreach Specialist Kelly Messer. OSF said it is searching for a new permanent location to serve Ford County. OSF can also deliver meals straight to seniors' homes. Next, a little more detail on that last item. Change is coming to piecemeal service, Gibson City. As of Wednesday, July 1st, the Gibson City Senior Center at 215 East 3rd Street will no longer be serving piecemeals for senior citizens. Piecemeals are meant to help seniors improve nutrition while encouraging independence and fellowship. Currently, OSF Healthcare provides meals 5 days a week for seniors age 60 and older who live in Champaign, DeWitt, Ford, Iroquois, McLean, Piatt, and Livingston counties. Ford County officials confirmed that the Gibson City building is currently used by an organization called Telecare, which in turn lets OSF use the space for piecemeals. Soon, however, the building will be used by a rural transportation provider, Future Connections. After that, OSF will no longer serve piecemeals at the center. But a spokesman for OSF said OSF is searching for a new location for piecemeals. In the meantime, OSF piecemeals will operate out of the Paxton Civic Center, 601 South Fall Street. Seniors can also request home delivery by calling 309-665-5900. For more information is available at www.osfhealthcare.org, Services Patients OSF Piecemeal. According to OSF, more than 97,000 people are 60 years old or older in the counties it serves. Out of that number, 31% are 75 or older, 24% live alone, and 31% live in poverty. And finally, Gibson City's cleanup day set for Saturday downtown in Gibson City. Gibson City's annual cleanup day is set for 8 a.m. to noon, Saturday, June 6th, in the parking lot area on the west side of Sangamon area between 7th and 8th Street in downtown Gibson City. The entrance will be one block to the west on State Street. Cleanup day is opened only to Gibson City residents or those with addresses in the Rasmussen subdivision. Proof of residency will be required via driver's license or other official identification. Elderly or disabled residents can arrange for pickup by calling City Hall at 217-784-5872 before Friday, June 5th. After Friday, June 13th, they must call 217-781-4433 to arrange for pickup. Not accepted at cleanup day are tires, hazardous waste, including paints, chemicals, lawn and landscaping debris, concrete, shingles, batteries, electronics, regular household trash, appliances, or oil or asbestos. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.